Hey everyone, it's Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, The Rise of the Microbrands. Lunch with Norm. Lunch with Norm. All right, so for today's show, we have another branding expert on, former guest, returning guest, former Coup of Snow, Brenda Ruby, and she's going to be talking all about brand, building a brand community, so it's going to be a really great show. But before we get to that, Kelsey.
Hello.
Hey, how are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Good. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? We won't get in on this now.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll wait and see. All right. So welcome, everybody. Welcome to the show. We have Marina joining
us. Hi, Marina.
Yeah. Let us know where you're watching from today. Hi, Renee.
Hey, Renee.
If you're new to the show, please watch or join us. Join the Beard Nation, Lunch with Norm, Amazon FBA, and e-commerce collective. That's where you find all the goodies. You have our experts there. You can ask questions to Norm if you want to get in contact with any of us, or just get involved with the community, go right ahead and join that group. I'll put the link in the bio. And if you ever miss an episode, you can go to our YouTube channel. It's Norman Farrar. We put up daily highlights and all the full episodes. And we do have a prize today. So we'll wait for Brenda to come on to explain the prize. But yeah, I think you guys will like it. It's always a hit with her. And welcome Andrew from Cape Town.
Perfect. All right.
All right. So that's it for me. All right. Let's have a
Perfect.
Good show.
Okay. Right. So get off the screen. Go. Anyways, that's the only time I could talk to him this way is when I'm on the podcast. But anyways, hey, welcome everybody. And Andrew, okay, not from Ethiopia, now over in Cape Town. Man, oh man, you travel. All right, so we're going to be talking about everything branding today. Can't wait to get to it. By the way, if this is on a replay, you can just skip by all of this, get right into the podcast. And the other thing is, if you're watching this on my profile page, just go right over to my Lunch with Norm Facebook fan page. And then you'll have all the entire episode, highlights, and all the good other types of content that Kelsey posts. But anyways, if you have any questions, throw them over into the comment box. But sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, enjoy the show. Hey, lady.
Hey, how's everybody doing? Thank you so much for having me again.
Amazing. You know, you just said it just before we got onto the podcast. It seems like we just talked.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's been a while and time goes by really fast.
Yeah, I forget who won the last giveaway that you gave away, a complete snow kit. Mm-hmm. But whoever it was reached out to me and was just saying how much they love that kit.
So that
again,
makes me so happy.
And the brand and what you've done to build the brand. All right. So if people don't know who you are, can you just give a quick couple of sentences and talk about what you're doing?
Yeah. So like Norm said, I'm the former COO of Snow Teeth Whitening, an e-commerce brand in the beauty industry, and I left that a year ago, and now I'm just consulting other e-commerce brands in how I did it and how I took from literally idea, I was part of the idea phase, all the way to nine figures. So I took care of the customer experience, the operations, building teams, hiring, all of that stuff. And I'm really happy somebody received the snow teeth whitening kit that I gave away last time, because they can see the effort I put into the packaging and the experience, and I am doing that again.
All right. Wow. So another snow giveaway.
Yes, another snow giveaway and another consultation with me. And the last consultation I had, we just had such an amazing brainstorming session, and he left away with so many great ideas that he's already implementing. And so that really warms my heart that I'm able to give away my time and see that it is actually being implemented. So I'm doing that again.
And it's so great that, you know, you can spend some time one-on-one with one of the listeners, because I mean, that type of advice, just to sit down, somebody that's grown a business, not only once, but I mean, this is ongoing. You are a brand specialist. You went from zero to nine figures on your own. Well, not you had a team, but it was driven by your concept, correct?
Yes. Yes. Me and my partner and an amazing team, and we just did it.
Yeah. So anyways, any time you can sit down with somebody like yourself, I mean, it's priceless. And implement, right? So I'm not sure who won the consultation, but did they implement it?
Yeah, that he actually innovated a bike, and he's from the UK. And we talked about YouTube influencers, because, you know, those are huge in the family's channel. So that was a really niche creative idea.
Oh, it was Simon.
Simon, yeah.
Yeah, he just put it down here. Totally priceless. Okay, fantastic. All right, so everybody, if you're listening, it would be awesome if you could tag somebody, or if you're looking, or if you know of anybody who's interested in branding, just get them over to the podcast now if they want to listen live. And we've got a great giveaway, as well as we're going to be diving into some really cool stuff. So, by the way, Andrew, Yarrow, Marsha, okay, you've got lemon rind pie and brownies in the oven and now you're listening to Lunch with Norm, so don't make sure they don't burn. I don't want to get blamed for it. Hey, Fatia from the UK, we were just talking last night, rad Facebook user, and Simon and Mark, so welcome everybody. And what are you saying now? I have a place in Georgia and skiing. Oh my gosh. All right. I'm jealous. Okay. So let's start it off right away. How do you enhance the customer service experience? Like right off the bat, you have a brand, and how do you enhance that brand through customer service?
The way you enhance the brand through customer experience, enhancing that, it's through adding value at mm-hmm. every single touch point that customer engages with you. So add value. It's right from, let's just say, the Facebook ads to how they receive the packaging. And so how can you elevate that experience? I love going through the five senses with the packaging. I mean, somebody that just received it, I'm sure they received that experience as well, but it's through adding value and in a very creative way.
Do you ever buy your competitor's product to see what they're doing and what the customer experience is when you receive the product?
Yes, I do both. One of two things. One, I order exactly as I would as a customer for my competitors to really see that journey, especially on the emails. So I track the emails. How are they speaking to me? How am I receiving? How long did it take compared to what I was expecting? So I go through the whole journey. And then we talked about it last time, outside of your competitor. And so I want it to be an elevated beauty experience in that industry. So then I would go to who I want it to be in another industry. And so staying in your competitor realm, but also going outside of your competitor into other industries and how they're doing it correctly.
How would you do your research on that?
This is how I would do it. It's the customer. So understanding your customer, understanding who they are, understanding their behavior and their purchase behavior into, my customer, as you want to call it in marketing, avatar, loves to shop at Nordstrom, like I spoke last time.
Right.
What else do they buy? All right, let me go into my own customer behavior and try to purchase other things that they would buy. And that's how I would go inside their head and to see what they would buy. And so I would do the same.
I'm kind of curious. Oh, I just noticed something here. Mark says, finally, some snow that I actually want. Yeah, me too. Me too, Mark. So let's talk about you're building that customer experience. You're talking about, you know, developing your finding that actual customer group. What about using influencers? How do you go out? What type of influencers would you buy or would you start to work with to build your influencer base to promote your product?
Yeah, so after doing it for so long, especially right at the beginning, I mean, I started doing influencer marketing about 5-6 years ago, and so it was fairly new. And the way I did it, now looking back at it, I made this structure, and I'm happy to share it with you and the listeners, is the structure of how to go about influencer marketing. And so at the bottom, it's a pyramid. And so at the bottom, it's the biggest area of micro influencers. And that's going to be more towards getting content. Mm-hmm. So I'm not looking for a direct ROI because they have less followers. Doesn't necessarily mean it's less engagement. And so I'm going after that content for social proof. I want as much content as I can, usually is a free product in exchange for content. And then going up that pyramid, then you go for that ROI. And the ROI working with influencers is going to be through affiliates, through ambassadors, through now you are really tracking that link and seeing if they can bring you new customers and you're tracking it. And then you go all the way up to brand awareness. So at the very top, we ended up working with top celebrities. And then you start making more like that brand awareness. So why are you... The type of influencers that you're going to go after, is it for content, trying to get as much content, micro influencers, all the way to the top of ROI and then brand awareness. And so that we definitely utilize that a lot. Influencers are not dead. It's just the way you use them and the way, what are you looking from them and that relationship that you're building.
So with your brand, you went all the way up the chain to using a celebrity. Most people can't afford that. What point did you start reaching out to the more macro or the celebrity influencers?
After we were a well-established brand. And so strategically, you want to make sure that you can handle that type of traffic internal. So having your systems, your operations really strong so that you can handle that type of traffic so that it could go really bad if you have a really bad experience. Maybe your shipping or your supply chain isn't as perfected as you would want. The last thing you want to go is after a really huge influencer or celebrity that's going to give you that traffic and that brand awareness and those customers experience a bad experience with your brand. Mm. It could go really bad. They can write bad reviews. This is the product doesn't work, or it took 3 weeks to get it. So you want to make sure that you do it at the right timing. And so go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, so you believe that it should be finely tuned, well optimized before you ever go to the higher level of influencer, correct?
I believe so, yeah, because the first impression, I mean, it's the same with retailers. The first impression, it's really going to set you for success or for failure.
Can influencers have any influence on big box stores or retail?
Yes, they can. It's the association that goes with that. It's the vetting. If a buyer comes and sees, if a buyer sees your Facebook ad or gets retargeted, which it happened a lot in our case because our retargeting was on point. If they're going through your Instagram as well and they see the Kardashians tagging you or a huge influencer, they're going to see, wow, so-and-so vetted them. Therefore, I want the association the same. And so it's through association that works.
Oh, excuse me. Okay. What about when you pay the big dollars to an influencer? So I understand micro and nano influencers and getting content out there. That's okay. If something goes wrong, that's okay. But if you're dealing with a larger celebrity, what can you expect? Can you know, you end up spending 25, 50, 100,000 bucks, and all right, they tag you. Are you going to get your ROI, or do you have to do this multiple times?
You have to do it multiple times. And honestly, in those contracts, you have to get the most out of it to be able to use it in your marketing, to be able to continue that. Maybe the exclusivity, maybe they can go next day and go run with another similar brand. So your contracts and those terms have to be very clear. And most of the time, like I said, the top of working with the biggest influencers is going to be for that brand awareness rather than that ROI.
Do you ever work directly with them? So if Kim Kardashian is going to do something for you, are you working directly for them, or do you just send them over the product and then they have their team put it behind them, or, you know, maybe possibly use it?
Most of the
time. Like how I did that, by the way, that's with your lip gloss.
Most of the time you do not get to work with them. Obviously they're super busy. They have so many people in between you and them. But I did get really lucky working with Gronk from what team does he play for? The Florida. He was at the New England Patriots. So I got to film a commercial, really funny commercial with him, went to his house and produced it with him, and he was the best, funnest guy. And so that was working directly with him, but he's a lot more laid back.
Oh, cool. All right. So now let's talk a little bit about engagement. You're using micro influencers for the most part, let's say, to build the content. How do you build engagement around that? How do you get the most performance or the most engagement out of the micro influencer?
You know, I ended up developing the best practices with micro influencers. They're so flexible. They actually want to work with you and want to give you the best content, and they have great engaged followers already. So I developed this guide of like, hey, this is the type of content we can produce for your own followers. Let's hop on a brainstorming session. Tell me about your followers. What do they like? What type of content do they like? And how can we merge my branding with your type of branding? So it still looks organic rather than let me just continue posting a selfie with the product. And so the way I drove up engagement is working with the influencer back and forth and trying to have the best partnership in creating value for their own followers instead of just here you go, post a product, tag us, thank you. So it's building that relationship with the influencer because they're speaking about your product. And so they also want to know what do you stand for? What are your core values? What are your benefits, your features? So I can speak about them to my own following.
If I look like I'm squinting, I realize that I put on the wrong glasses. And everything's a blur, by the way. So just letting everybody know. Oh man, I've got to change. I've got to get a set that's red or something, so I know. Okay, not to put them on. They look too similar. So I'm trying to read questions and watch over there, but I'm telling you, everything is just a blur. When you're working with the influencer, what happens if it goes bad? What happens if the information? Maybe they get a bad package, or maybe they just have a competitor. How about we try that? How about if a competitor reaches out to them and now they're promoting your competitor because they might pay more? Something happens where, you know, you get negative press. What can you do?
That has happened. Luckily, not as bad with an influencer, but that has happened where it was a week, just a week in between. They were working with another competitor, or they said the wrong thing, or they didn't pronounce something right. It happens. And so the way you go about it, one, preventing it, that you have, again, the terms in the contract. But if you didn't do that beforehand, you have to work with them to fix it if it's fixable, or you just don't work with them again. just same with another retailer or another influencer, you just understand that, oh, it took this much to know that they're not the right fit. Unfortunately, we won't be able to work with them again. So it's not working with them again, and making sure that if it was to happen, how can we go about it? How can we fix it? Because that negative press does go with your brand.
Right. Okay, so what about, and I know that this is all, you know, what ifs, but okay, so you've got, they supply you with images, they give you a video. Do you have anything that allows you to use this for your own promotion? Who owns the copyright?
So, yeah, so with the micro-influencers, it's really flexible. You do use it for your social, again, that social proof. But you do have it in the terms where you can use it for advertising. Mm-hmm. And another really cool thing, I'm pretty sure it's still being done. I think it's called, is it Dark Pose? Where you can, they can give you access to their Facebook page, and you can run ads as if you're running it through their pages. You have to get approved. You have to show them how to add you as a ads manager, all that. But that works really well, where you're able to run ads through their profile on Facebook. And so to the audience, it looks like that influencer is really promoting your product instead of just coming from you. And it's like, oh, obviously you paid for that content. So that's a little nugget there. I haven't done it in a long time, but I know it's being done. And I'm sure if you guys look out for it, you'll see it. And it looks a lot more organic, and it works really well.
Very good. Okay, so just for a second here. First, a couple of shout outs. I see another Facebook user, Del Cogon from the Philippines. Welcome, Clive, Fatia, Mero, Marcia. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Marcia and Rad. Please, if you are interested in getting the giveaway today, just put in, I believe it is I Love Snow. If you want a consultation with Brenda, it's just hashtag Brenda. And, we'll be drawing at the end of the show. Am I doing this correctly? This is your job.
Yeah. So we love snow. Hashtag we love snow for the snow whitening. And it's only US only, correct, Brenda?
Yes.
Yeah. And then if you want a one-on-one consultation, that's for anyone. They can apply or they can enter for the contest. Just put hashtag Brenda, just so I can have two wheels going. For everyone, and we do have some questions, but we can wait till after, Noreen, if you'd like.
Or... Sure. Well, why don't we take care of these questions right now, and then we can move on.
Perfect. So I think the most important one is from Fatiha. Does Brenda offer social media management services? How can we reach out to her?
Yeah, you can find me on my socials, and I do all types of strategy. I just do consulting right now, and just like you saw Simon, we had an amazing brainstorming session. So please reach out to me, and we can go from there.
And Fatia, hopefully you win.
Yeah.
There we go. Problem solved.
All right. Any other? Yeah. So Rad is asking, where do you find an influencer who knows your product in your industry?
Yeah. So I would say first, know your customers so well. Second, understand where they're at. So is it Facebook? Is it Instagram? Is it YouTube? And then go on there and just find influencers on there. There's a lot of platforms out there that have the influencers and the brands, but I don't necessarily recommend them. They take a percentage, and it's just not the best managed. So you can go on there, sign up for free, and actually just look in the database and see which influencers are more willing to already do that. But I would do it in-house with the virtual assistant to go scrape that platform. YouTube is amazing because those videos stay on there. They're great for SEO friendly. So I'd go to the platform your customers are at, and then go and find the best influencers on there. Go to the platforms that influencers are on, but not necessarily stay on them and stay on the platform, but just see which influencers are already ready to work with you.
When you launched Snow, was it an Amazon play or was it an e-com play that went over to Amazon?
It was a brand play that went into Amazon.
Okay, so I'm curious. You started to promote. You've got your inventory, brand new product. Now you started with PPC. Did you drive a lot of traffic over from Facebook or a lot of external traffic to give it exposure? Did it grow organically?
It was Facebook. Facebook ads was our bread and butter from the beginning, and that drove the most traffic to our site. And then after, that's when we did that diversification and went to other platforms like Amazon and retail.
All right. Because it's recurring revenue, did you have a subscribe and save or a subscription model on your e-com site?
We did start off that way, and I wish we did, but we ended up coming out with a subscription model on the refilled wands. So we call them the little applicators, the serum. We call them wands, again, a playoff with your branding and all that. So we ended up having a subscription model based on just the wands itself, and that was less than $50 compared to our AOV of 150 and up. And that was recurring, and that has done really well for us.
Oh, very good. Okay, so from the Facebook ads, and I'm just trying to visualize, if I had to kind of do a mind map and see how you brought out to get this product to explode to nine figures. So you did, of course you did PPC. Now you've got your Facebook ads going over there. What did you do next to drive any other types of external traffic? Did you go right over to the influencers, or did you do something different?
It was the influencers. It was that marketing strategy really helped us out. Yes, it was earlier on, but it's still working now. And it was influencers, more towards ambassadors, affiliates, sponsorships. Yeah, so it was the influencer marketing campaign.
All right. Oh, Simon's got something here. Kels?
I'll read it. Yeah. Brenda is a digital marketing genius. In 30 minutes, we came up with a very easy to do and high return influencer strategy.
Beautiful.
Oh, thank you, Simon, so much for that.
Now, I see something from Marsha about a claim.
Yeah. So when selling on Amazon, did you have any problems making claims about how your product would whiten teeth? Did Amazon make you prove your product worked before they would let you make claims?
Interesting question.
Yeah, really. Really good question. Yes. We did clinical trials to say that 98% of people in that trial saw results within the 7 days. So yeah, they were really strict. And other platforms also became a lot more strict. We also had to show that it was FDA approved, send in all that paperwork. So yes, we did have to show for that. And honestly, Amazon wasn't our biggest one. It was that like amazing cherry on top. But we didn't, we made sure that we were diversified. But yes, to answer your question.
So when you went out and you did all the lab testing and then getting it certified through FDA, what kind of costs were associated with that?
It was a lot. It was that investment where we knew if we wanted a really strong proof and to really, I call them moats. So in building your brand and your castle, you want to build these really strong moats. And so how do you build that brand equity and perception and making sure that if a competitor comes around or Crest comes with a lawsuit, whatever it is, that we have that proof to show behind it. So it was really important to invest in that. It was in the ups of thousands of dollars, and it was research and development. It was all these trials. It was a lot.
And these are all, you call them moats. I like referring them to barrier to entry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people will not go through that. So teeth whitening, I had experience with teeth whitening. I didn't even get to the point where it got launched because the client decided that it was just too much of a pain. Got it into Amazon. Amazon rejected it because hydrogen peroxide was a hazmat issue, even though everybody else was, you know, able to sell teeth whitening. And it got rejected. and they couldn't do it. But with persistence and going through the right channels, what I recommended is that, look, I can go and try to do this for you. Go to an expert who can get the listing done for you properly. So like a Chris McCabe, a Yael Cabley, Nir's on here. Where are you, Nir? And maybe he can speak to this too. But you know, these are people that can get the job done quickly. Oh, there we go. And I think that's important, because for the 1,000, 2,000, 5,000, whatever the cost is, you can get up and you can get running and you don't have to worry about it. What are your thoughts on that? Yeah. Okay.
I agree 100%. And that's what we did. We went to the experts, and instead of doing it over and over and getting rejected, we just said, we want to do it right. You're essentially losing money and leaving money on the table from not getting that listing up day after day. So I agree with you 100%.
Did you? Okay. So let's go back to that kind of mind map. So now we've got it, and it's only in my mind, by the way. So, but anyways, I'm trying to think of this out loud. So now you've got your influencers. Did you ever bring in, and you know how I love content. So now on the content side or on the public relations side, did you ever go out and try to find earned media or get people, and coffee. Thank you, Connie. Earned media. Did you ever use public relations at all in your marketing?
So we knew that was very important, and we had it in-house right away. And so we still have a really good guy that does PR, and we knew that that was one of our really strong barrier to entry, where you just need it to be out there. So we have the great product, we're creating the content, and now we need that badge of honor. We did magazines like Vogue. Now that they're doing billboards, we did Mellers. We did in the past infomercials. We did so many PR. We were on so many different magazines. And so that badge of approval goes a long way, because now the customer is looking at it, and now in their heads, through all that hesitation going in their heads, they're like, wow, they're being vetted by retailers, they're being vetted by celebrities and influencers, and now they're being vetted by the biggest magazines that I see and all these PR stuff. So again, creating those moats around you where it's like, okay, check, 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 I'm going to buy.
One of the biggest moats that I see right now, and I don't know how long it's been. You're not actively involved with snow. You've moved on from snow, correct?
Yes, just advice here and there, but not day to day. No.
So Amazon editorial recommendations. I think that's another major moat. I mean, just imagine if you also had that. That's going on right now. Snow Brand probably already has it, but that's another 10 to 30% easily in extra sales. So being able to get in and get on to Amazon's recommended or editorials, not a lot of people, I hear people talk about it, but I don't hear them talk about it enough. I think that's a major thrust right now. If you can get into a publication that Amazon will promote on their website, above the fold. If Amazon is saying you're their editorial choice, I think that's a good chance that you're going to get a sale, as long as your listing doesn't suck. Yeah. That's simple. Yeah,
exactly. Again, the association with Amazon giving you that badge of approval.
Yeah. Did you ever get involved with the editorials at all?
I don't remember, but we did have our branded page and our videos on there, and that as soon as we did that, people loved it. And again, that social proof, and we had a whole branding Amazon listing. But to your point, yeah, you're the expert, so I believe it.
No, I'm just like, over the last year, I think it's done a great job, and just trying to understand, you know, what publications are being involved, because all of a sudden, you'll see, and it's not on every listing. Have you noticed that? Mm-hmm. The odd listing, you'll see the editorial pop up. But anyways, I just thought about, I had somebody contact me today just before we got on the podcast about Amazon Posts. Did you or do you use Amazon Posts to build a community at all for your influencer network?
What, can you explain a little bit?
Oh, more Amazon Posts. So, and again, you've been removed from Amazon. Amazon was Snow for a little bit, but Amazon Posts, it's Amazon's social community. So they have a social media platform. And they've divided it up into Amazon Posts for images and Amazon Live for video.
I have seen that. Definitely haven't gotten into it or implemented that or that I know of.
Oh my god!
But I have seen that, and it looks like, oh my god, this is Amazon again. Amazon diversifying their own efforts to bring more traffic in.
Did you see the beta program that they have out? It's not major. But Amazon's actually the brand story page. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God. So now Amazon is really trying to, you know, compete. And I wonder when we're going to see, you know, the commenting and the voting. That still hasn't happened. But what's happened now is, have you noticed that on your brand page? If anybody goes over to your brand feed page on Amazon Posts, you have followers. Wow. And when you upload Amazon videos, or if you go live on Amazon, people follow you. They get notified.
Interesting. Wow, they're developing a platform where eventually it will be run by influencers and following it. So again, that community, right? So it's like, how can we get our people on here more engaged? How to build that community? How to get them to stay longer on our platform?
Yeah. And, you know, what I like about what Amazon's doing with the Amazon Post right now is it's a pattern interrupt. You know, you go down and it's on mobile right now, but you go down, it's not a product on a white background. It's social proof of an influencer using your product or whatever you want. And I use one of the things that we have is a kitchen utensil, and we show recipes. So we get chefs with the product and a recipe that they provide. And it's added value. And a lot of people hear me talk about this all the time. But what I love about Amazon Posts is that you actually show up in your competitor's feed for free.
Wow.
Yeah.
Talk about interrupting that.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so easy to get this type of content. We're talking about building a brand based on influencers. Well, one of the easiest thing that you can do is on your insert card, just ask to be tagged. Mm-hmm. Ask to tag with the product. And all of a sudden, you got a little bit of, you know, content that you can post. And it's, guess what? It's going to cost you nothing. So,
yeah. No, excellent point.
Yeah. What about for you? Going back, let's hook back to your use of micro influencers. How much did that cost? Were they free? Did it cost you a few dollars? How did you pay, and what was it? How much did you actually pay the influencer?
It was a variation of different ways. So one, most of them, it was the free product in exchange for content. Mm-hmm. Others was a fixed price for the post. And then another way was affiliate type, even if they were micro, where we would send them a discount code or a special link, and we would track the sales that they would bring in, and then they would get paid for the exact sales. So that was the most profitable. So there's different ways to do it. It wasn't more than thousands. Sometimes it was just like free product. You still want to do a contract when you're doing that, because that's still a cost associated with that. And you still want to hold them accountable for posting. And so there's different ways to do it. Usually they have their little deck, and they'll tell you how they work. And then you can negotiate based on their engagement. I usually go between a 3% is average on engagement. You want to go higher. Usually our favorite was the mommy bloggers, because they would be constantly on there. And they had a great relationship with their followers, and the best ones had more than 5% engagement, and they were making six figures on just affiliate commission. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to stop this. I'll be affiliate.
Yeah.
I saw something that you guys did that was absolutely fantastic. I bet you got a ton of business from this. And this was on social media. Rob Burns came on and he was talking about, we're talking about snow at one point. But on his site, I was checking it out and all of a sudden there you guys are. He did marketplace reviews for you. And mm-hmm. I don't know how long, if it was a day long or if it was ongoing, but they were really great reviews. So in case you don't know, you probably don't know what I'm talking about, but I guess it was set up on the boardwalk or something. You had these people coming by, trying your product, and right there, they've never tried your product or seen your product, and they were asked, what do you think? You know, and they gave their opinion right there. And there was enough of these people that you were able to break it up, not only into testimonials, but you intercut it, edited it with product videos that were brought out every single day on your social media. You had cinemagraphs, plotographs, 30-second infomercials. You had everything. And it was all cut between testimonials and product video. I think that was genius. I think that was incredible to get a lot of exposure. And it was video, or it was rich media too, which people love.
Yeah, that works so well for us because, again, you can't fake the first impression. And to capture that expression from people that, one, they've never heard about your product, seen it, or used it, and we ask them those questions, and to capture that expression of like, oh, wow, I love it, or like, I love this really cute mirror on the lip balm, and like, it feels so refreshing and good. And so that was really good testimonials, especially to reuse on social.
Right. Okay, Kels, do we have any more questions?
Yeah, we have a couple. So from Simon, is there a sweet spot for the number of influencers to collab with? Is there a point where you can have too many influencers?
Yeah, so you want to do it. It is a numbers game. So based on your budget, depending on the type of influencer, usually we would do it by quarterly. So quarterly, we would say we want to get depending on like the volume, and some of these influencers do want to get paid. So you do it quarterly and you work backwards and you say, we can get 50 micro influencers. We could get 10 bigger influencers that we're going to get paid. We're going to pay them for, and we could get just one big hitter this quarter, or let's just wait till the fourth quarter because Christmas is around the corner then. And let's budget for better influencers quarter four and quarter one and two. Let's go all in on micro influencers. So understanding your strategy on that would help.
Okay, very good. And thank you, Fatia, by the way.
Yeah, and also Usman says you guys are the best.
So thanks, Usman.
Thank you. All right. Let me see. We got a couple. Back to the claims with Marsha. Did you send your paperwork to the safety department at Amazon or the legal department?
You know, that is a very specific question. I do not remember. And again, we went to the experts to submit all the paperwork. We just had all the paperwork ready for them. So I would advise if Norm can answer this or if an expert. So we went straight to the expert for that.
Well, we got one of the big guns on. I don't know if he's still listening, but Nir, maybe you can answer that if you're still listening.
Okay. And Simon, this was back when you were talking about PR. Print press has died a death by 1,000 internet cuts. Where does PR get the best bang for the buck in 2021?
You know, it's a different type, multiple different strategies. I mean, we had even news, the morning news, where they would say the best awesome products for 2021. I would go every single direction. I think the name matters more than where it's at. You can say magazines are dead, but if you get a placement on Vogue, that's huge because you're using the name. So going after different types of PR. So magazines, maybe you start with local news if you do have a better specific product, and then you work your way up. For us, the mailers wasn't an ROI. It was to get the brand awareness out there because we wanted local talent. The billboards might have not been the best ROI to get to sell product. But again, we wanted to have the brand out there for potential local investors, for amazing talent in Arizona. So understanding the strategy you want to go with. But if you do want it 100% for PR, go for the name.
Yeah, the other thing with PR, I mean, you could, there's so many different strategies. I love creating long, high quality content, putting it into your website, using a distribution or syndication company to distribute it, which pretty much nobody does. So you get tons of really great authority links coming back. You create a very small YouTube video with the highlights, which is embedded in there. And then you write your press release, and not a cheap press release, a high quality press release that links over. And now you've got authority links going to your, well, and that would link to your Amazon store. But now you've got your Amazon store linked to your press release that has tons of authority links, which links over to your blog, which has the link from YouTube. And by the way, your press release would have all the social media contacts that you need. I love that. And the other thing that you can do, and this is my partner, Shane, over at PR Reach, he did, he calls it Brand Builder, and it's just a traffic blitz. So it's not just a press release or content, it's a slideshow, it's a podcast that nobody's going to hear, you know, kind of like how we started, but nobody hears it, and it's a traffic amplification. And anyways, these are ways to build your brand. Authority, trust equals sales. That's it.
Yes. You should copyright that. Authority. What was it?
Authority and trust equals sales.
I love that. That works.
Okay, Kels, any more questions?
Yes. Fatiha is asking, do you only sell in the US or is your product selling worldwide?
Worldwide. And we actually did start wanting to sell worldwide. It was a huge challenge, but I ended up figuring that out. And a lot of people love our products everywhere. I remember at the beginning mapping it out, and I would look at all the cities and countries that I've never heard about. But it was, we ended up, so this is goes back to the customer experience. After figuring out that we wanted to go worldwide, again, for that brand awareness, and we want everybody to have access, we ended up taking on the taxes, the customs fee, every single fee that was giving the customer a bad experience. Think about having to pay 20% to get a $150 product. And in Dubai and all these huge cities, it was just a huge headache. And so I ended up finding different consolidators that would work with me. And Snow took on every single fee and tax to give that customer the best experience. So they go receive it. It was the fastest. They didn't have to pay anything. And for them to receive a product without any headaches compared to all the products they were receiving, they gave us the best reviews. And so that was a huge plus for us. And we did go worldwide right away.
And having a package like the way that you've packaged your product, receiving that in Japan or receiving that in the UK, I mean, it's gorgeous and people would want to buy it. I could see that selling anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Let's see, from Usman, what's a tip you would give to sellers which you think you never got?
I would say build that community. Like really build that community. Listen to your customers. be super customer centric. If I keep working with a lot of big e-commerce brands, and the thing that I see, whether they're at 100,000 a year or 10 million a year, it's building that community, that engagement, is being customer centric. So there's a little tip that I love to do with all of my clients is go through all of the positive reviews and all of the negative reviews from your own customers and from your competitors' customers. So everything that your customer, they're speaking, they're screaming. People write reviews for two reasons: to complain about a product or to hype up a product because they received an amazing experience. So that is your answer right there. How can we be better than our competitors? Let's go listen to their customers and see what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong, and let's implement that into our own product. And you can get so many new customers from the ones with the bad reviews. So that's a little trick that I would go and do.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see. Okay, Andrew, what would be the minimum number of followers you would consider a micro influencer?
For micro influencers, I would not focus on the followers. I would focus on the type of content they produce. They might not have a lot of followers, but they're really good on camera. They're really good at expressing the product. They write great reviews. I mean, captions on their posts. They're great with taking pictures. So go towards the type of content that micro influencers is producing. And I always go based on the engagement. So you can find the engagement on based on how many likes they get on their posts. Compared to how many followers they have, look at the engagement on their comments. And some of them, be aware, there's bots out there. There might be fake likes and all that. So there's softwares out there that you can verify. But look at the engagement more than the followers.
Right.
Okay. And it is 12:52. So we just maybe have like a couple more minutes. Okay,
so just one quick shout out again. That if you are interested in receiving a giveaway from Brenda or a consultation from Brenda, I think what it is hashtag I love snow.
Hashtag we love snow for the snow giveaway. So that's US only. But if you want a consultation with Brenda, it's one-on-one. That is hashtag Brenda. So anyone can enter that. So even if you're in the UK or Australia, wherever, you can enter that one.
And we'll probably be doing that within the next 2 minutes.
Okay. And Yaro, please give a few examples of how the influencers promote your product.
Yeah. So, you know, what's working really great right now? It's user-generated content, UGC. So if you see influencers, one, they are not shy on the camera. They look the most organic as a customer. And yes, it could be a picture about the product, but think about, it has to make sense with your own product. Are they showcasing it in a lifestyle form? For example, our teeth whitening, people love taking it by their sink, using it. You want to show the different variations of how our product was used. So reading a book, doing laundry, doing the dishes. So it's like we would guide them. But you can tell based on their content of how they already show their content on their timeline. So just make sure that they're good on video, because that goes a long way. And the picture, it's a great lifestyle picture. So you'll be able to see. And one thing I do suggest more of is go after YouTube influencers. Because they're like mini actors. They're already amazing on camera. They have so much content. That content could live on forever. So go after YouTube influencers. That's something that I would suggest to everybody.
Okay.
Okay. And we'll do one more and then get the wheel going, I think. So let me just pick out. There's a bunch that came in.
Oh, I saw one here from a Facebook user.
Okay. Yes, this is from Stephen. Okay. Hey, Brenda, I only had like 3 followers on Instagram and still about to launch this year. What can you suggest I should do?
If it's about increasing your following, your community and engagement, I would suggest to partner up with other brands, potentially do a giveaway if you already have the product. So to increase your community and your followers on social media organically, I would look for partnership opportunities. And so understand your customer, understand who else they follow, and try to collaborate with other types of brands. And so, for example, Snow Teeth Whining did a lot of collaborations, and it makes sense to do. We did a skincare. We did a partnership with Elias Skincare because it's in the face, and so the mouth is there. So that's a collaboration. It's not a competition. We did a brand collaboration with a wine subscription, because red wine stains your teeth. So that's an amazing collaboration with that brand. So look for different types of collaborations where your customers already engaged, and hit them up. Maybe you do a IG live together. Maybe you do a giveaway together. Maybe you say, hey, can I do an email collaboration? Then in that email, you give 20% off if they follow your Instagram. So there's different ways to do it. So I would go after collaborating and partnerships.
One other thing to add to that. If you head over to Clubhouse and you open up a room and you start talking about your brand, or you start to contribute to somebody else talking about your niche, you will get tons of followers now. It's brand new strategy. I really can't believe the Clubhouse phenomena, but it is a time suck. We warn people every time. It's a time suck. But you will get noticed, and not enough brands are doing it. You got courses and more courses and courses, and maybe even some more courses that are on there. But you come out there with your brand, and guess what? There's going to be a lot of people talking about wine, pets, mommy bloggers. I mean, just think about, you know, if you're into the niche where it's for kids or toddlers, it's a huge market. And I can tell you, I don't go on too often, but just the amount of times that I've been on there, I went to Kelsey 2 weeks ago. I said, what's going on with Instagram? And all of a sudden, like, boom, 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 right after I was on Clubhouse. So that's what we found.
Yeah, it was about, I think, for each week, it was about 40 to 50 follows.
Yeah.
Like per
and
week.
Again, we're not no being on very often.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I got huge leads from there. And last night, Mark Zuckerberg was on Clubhouse for 10 minutes.
Wow.
Let me just tell you that I was on it. I've been on it way too long that he got on it. So it's definitely the next platform. And so if you go on it, deliver value.
Yeah, Gary Vee and Elon Musk were both on it. They've been promoting it too. So
yeah, it's going to happen. It's happening big time. Okay, so we want to respect your time. I know you've got a 1 o'clocker. So, great. Thank you, Andrew. All right, we have Wheel of Kelsey coming up.
All right, so we've got lots for the consultation. Let me see.
The most exciting part of the podcast is Wheel of Kelsey. Well, okay. Other than you, Brenda.
All right. So you can see my screen. So if you won super recently, I didn't include you just to make it more fair for everyone else. But let's see. So 3, 2, 1.
So did you see how he's color coordinated the wheel now?
On brand. I'm so proud of you.
There we go. Mark. All right.
So congratulations, Mark. And we'll do.
Actually, it was Mark that made that comment earlier. It's the only type of snow I like.
Okay. And just give me a second. I got to switch
rigged.
Over.
Yeah. If it was rigged, I'd win.
Let me see. I believe it's this one. So this one, we just have a couple because we have the U.S. restriction.
Ah, okay.
So 3, 2, 1. Also, if you won like last week, I didn't include you. Okay, Jakar. All right, perfect. So I'll need your information from you two. And yeah, thank you, everyone.
Okay, fantastic. So unfortunately, and again, we apologize that, you know, if it was international, we try, but, you know.
It's expensive.
Yeah, it's expensive. Yeah. But anyways, that's it for today. Thank you so much for coming in and just, you know, dropping all this information on us.
Yeah, thank you so much. You guys have a great community. So props to you guys.
Oh, thanks.
All of the people on here.
Well, thanks a lot. We'll be talking to you shortly. And I know you've got to go and grab that. Look, I said 1 o'clock and it's okay. It's 1:01 now. No. Okay, Brenda. Thanks again. And we'll see you soon.
Thank you so much.
All right. All right, everybody. So that's it for today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed all the information that Brenda was able to share. Kelsey, why don't we talk a little bit about what's coming up?
You hear me? I'm having some issues with my streaming.
You always have issues.
Okay, perfect. All right, it's fixed. All right, so first of all, if you are not part of the community, you can go over and join the Beard Nation. It's Lunch with Norm, Amazon FBA and e-commerce collective. So just hop on over there, answer 3 questions, and then you're in. That's where we get to know everyone in the community, and you can ask questions, advice. You can post. If you have any tips yourself, you can go ahead and post there. And I try and throw a couple questions for the audience too to see how everyone's doing in their businesses. And let's see. So yes, for the giveaways, I did have to leave a couple people out because you guys have won so much compared to others. So some people have never won before. Others have won 3, 4, 5 times. So we're going to try and limit and try and just make everything more fair, especially with the international group because they can only enter in certain things too. So hope you guys understand. It's not because we don't like you or I'm rigging it. I just want everyone to have kind of a fair share with
just
it.
Just make sure if there's any negative comments that it's just send it over to Kelsey's email. That would be
awesome. But yeah, so Monday we have Orion Avedon. I believe that's.
So I'm now you're taking my line.
Oh, I thought you passed it. Just, to me, but go ahead.
I got like one line.
Okay. All right. Well, go ahead.
Okay. All right. So on Monday, we have Orion Avedon, and Orion is going to be talking about, or he's going to break down the arbitrage, drop shipping, wholesale, white label spectrum, and which one may suit you the best. So I think it'll be an interesting show. And I think that's probably it, unless Kels.
Yeah. So like and share the video. Get it out to your friends. I know if you're watching from the group, you can't really, I don't think you can share the video, but if you go to our Lunch with Norm Facebook page, you can invite people into the group if you want, but you can also share and take people in the episode there too. And right. Appreciate any reviews you guys have. We'll do Apple Podcasts, Spotify, even the Facebook pages.
Is Monday our 100th episode? I just saw Simon say something.
Yeah, it's our 100th really? Episode, yeah.
Why didn't you tell me?
I know, it's just...
All right.
So got to do something special for that, but I don't know what that will be.
Okay, so I guess on Monday we'll be celebrating our 100th episode. Thank you, Kelsey, for letting me know. And tune in every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at noon Eastern Standard Time. So thanks, everybody, and for watching the episode today. No, I guess this is number 99. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you next week. Lunch with the